Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I ask you to open your bulletin to the gospel reading for today. We're going to take a portion of that as the basis for our message today. Basically, we're going to deal with the wedding feast portion of this, and then we're going to take a look at a special verse that we have there before us. So this was a Sabbath day. And as we look at the ministry of Jesus, everywhere he went, he was talking about the kingdom of God. People hear that, but they don't always know what exactly does the kingdom of God mean and how is it given to us. And actually, the kingdom of God is something that you have in your own hearts, where God, through the word and sacrament, converts you, brings you to Christ, and leads you to believe firmly in him and to do whatever you can to talk to others about what Jesus Christ has done for you and for our world. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Now, I have given this sermon a strange title, and you probably will wonder, what in the world is that? The kingdom of self. And what I'm trying to do is contrast the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self, which I call the present emphasis in our world today is on the kingdom of self. If you look at all, or take, I looked in the AI channel, and I looked at what is the basic of all of the commercial things that you have today thrown before us in all kinds of commercials. All of you love commercials, don't you? Oh, yes. Anyway, what is the basic premise of all of these commercials? And the AI says the basic premise is me, capital M-E. They focus on things that they think will make you feel better about yourself, will make you a stronger person, through all kinds of counseling and what have you today. And some of the commercials I get kind of laughing about. For example, there is the one about a local gambling establishment that we have here in Arizona. And the advertisement comes up for that and says, invites a lady to go away and go to one of these gambling places, and the sentence is, go and do you, which means self, go and do you. And so much of our commercialization, if you look at it closely, has to do with trying to sell you for the things of the world, or to do things that will make you feel better about yourself, your looks, your appearance, where you are in your station in life, or how to get better in your station in life, and so forth and so on. So that's what I call the kingdom of self. And it's not exactly what I was emphasizing at the beginning where Jesus always went about talking about the kingdom of God and telling people to repent and believe the gospel. And when they do that, they enter into the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom that is spelled out by humility. I ask you to look at the lessons today, and there are several parts of the lesson, if you look closely enough, that emphasizes humility as what we as Christians should have at all times, and not following after these commercials that emphasize the kingdom of me, kingdom of self. For example, I have here marked the one in Proverbs. I tried to look at that. And Jesus knew the Bible quite well, because when you see this particular parable that he's telling to those scribes and Pharisees and all of their guests there, in Proverbs 25, part of it says, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." There again, Jesus surely must have had that in mind when he is telling this parable about the wedding feast that went on. Now, Jesus was invited by a Pharisee and a group of Pharisees, probably the very honored teachers in Israel. And when you look at the first verses of that particular gospel lesson, you see that says he was invited, he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, a very highfalutin person in status. And they, meaning the whole Pharisee group, was watching him carefully. The Pharisees were always trying to find something that they could catch Jesus on to put him down. He was very popular with his preaching of the kingdom of God with people, but they wanted to find a way to put him down so he wouldn't have all that recognition and popularity. And he was not seeking to gain that for himself, because he was going about his humble task of preaching and teaching. So he has the opportunity here. If you can look in your bulletin's front page, you will see a bunch of chairs. And I think it says something about find your place, your first place. Anyway, this doesn't quite fit here with what is happening. In that day of Jesus, they did not sit around eating a feast in chairs. They had couches that they would lay on. Some of them were one couch. Sometimes there were two couches put together, another one, another two, like that. And the people who would come in to be guests were to find their couch that they prefer. And of course, it was who gets there first. So he saw all of this commotion after he had done this marvelous miracle of healing for this man that was at the first part of our text. The crowd had gathered about that, and now they were all scattering to see who was going to get the best seats. And so you could just imagine that now in your mind. See a nice couch. Some of you know what a nice couch is, I'm sure. But we don't do that anymore. We sit down in chairs at the dinner table. But they're scrambling to see who's going to get closest to the host, and maybe even closest to Jesus by scrambling for that particular thing. They didn't pay much attention to male or female. It's whoever got there first, you know. And they were all trying to get to that closest honorable position. And so Jesus takes the opportunity at this time to tell this parable about what they should do that is the correct. He's trying to correct what I see in that particular behavior, what I call the kingdom of self. They were seeking after their good, you know, not especially to listen to Jesus, but to their own good and welfare, and to see how they could get more honor in where they were sitting, and so forth and so on. So we have about two principles that we see in this text before us. And now the first is a negative principle that I see here, is seek always to promote your own, one's own honor and prestige. That's the negative principle that was at work here. They wanted to get honor, they wanted to get more prestige, they wanted to get that honorable seat. And so they were shoving, I can just see it in my mind's eye, shoving around, trying to maybe change or say, you move there and you move there, I'm going to get this, and so forth and so on. Jesus sees all that and he uses it as an opportunity to teach what God is calling us to be like in the kingdom of God. And so the basic word that we have here is humility. Humility. That's what Jesus is trying to teach by this particular parable. Ever since the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve, man is on almost entirely living in sinful condition where he likes the kingdom of self. There's several examples I could throw out. You, Cain and Abel, for example, God honored Abel because he had a sacrifice where blood was shed, which was showing his faith in the coming Redeemer who would redeem the world through his own shed blood on the cross. That was a thought. And Cain, he just brought God a few horn pieces and presented them. And then he got very jealous of the reason that God accepted Abel's offering, and you know what happened thereafter. He was jealous, and he took his own brother out in the field and slew him. And that happens very often in our world today, where people seek themselves. They don't care who they walk over. They don't care who they ruin. I want to exalt me, myself, and I. I like to use that phrase. You can remember that one. Me, myself, and I. That's what a lot of people in this world are seeking. This, and that's self-promotion. And we have here in the gospel today a particular verse that we could all call to mind here, where he says in verse 11, look at it, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." That's the key verse, and that lines up with Old Testament reading, epistle reading that we have there. And so this is what God is calling us to do. And he has an opportunity here to teach about God's kingdom. And Jesus is calling us who believe in him and who trust in him to a life of humility. That's the main point. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who exalts himself will be cast down, humbled. Now, it seems like James must have remembered that saying of Jesus, because in his epistle, he writes that God rejects the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And there is that portion also in the epistle reading today where it talks about this kingdom of self again. And John the Apostle wrote in his first epistle these words, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." That's the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of self. Now, so I just ask these questions of myself. How much in our daily lives do we find ourselves focusing on the things of this world? How much have we found ourselves caught up in this kingdom of self? And we need to hear that call to repent of that And in spite of our sins of selfishness and putting other things first before the kingdom of God, God has not given up on us because he sent his Son into the world to die on the cross. He went the way of humility. And St. Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 2. He says there, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind in you." I like that phrase. "Have this mind in you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and all confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." So that's humility. Jesus lived a life of humility. He lived a life of poverty. He said, the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. He was a wanderer in the land of Israel. He was born in humility. He lived a life of humility. He lived a life for others. That's what humility is. And he was perfect. Truly, he was the Son of God. But he came to give us deliverance to that kind of humble life, and then to take all of his humility and go the way of the cross. What a humble way for him to give his own life for you and for me, that we might have the forgiveness of sins, trust in that, and be brought into the kingdom of God, and then to follow him in our way of life. The Bible tells us that when we are baptized into Christ, and I take it most all of you have been baptized, you put on Christ. Paul writes about that. What does it mean to put on Christ? It means that you and I, as true believers in Christ Jesus, will live that life of humility, to live that mind of Christ as we meet our neighbors who are in need, and as we look out about our world and see what can we do as a follow-through for this faith that we have in Jesus Christ and his redemption for us. And that's to go forth and do things for other people. So humility is the call here today, to live a Christ-like walk today. So God sends his Spirit to us today through word and sacrament, to give us power to live a Christ-like life of love and service. Thus provision is given to help us put behind the kingdom of self and to embrace the kingdom of God. This is a mark of living as a member of the kingdom of God now, and later will come our life in the kingdom of glory. So may God, through his word and message today, help us to hold on and cling to Christ our Savior, and through the power of the Spirit, help us to live humble lives as we seek God's kingdom and also the welfare of our fellow mankind. God grant it in his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.